Well, good early morning, church. So we continue our study through the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. We are moving from the Beatitudes, where Jesus talked about our character. Now he's moving to focus on our conduct as believers. Now, we're told that we are to live out our faith out loud. We're to live out our faith so other people can see, because our conduct matters. Because we are here, we're called to impact this world for Jesus in the area of influence that he has placed us. Everyone has an area of influence. There are people in your lives on a daily basis, family, friends, co-workers, people at the grocery stores, wherever it is. Those people are in your area of influence, and you are called by Christ to impact those people for him with what you do and what you say. Have your Bibles, Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. Making an impact in your area of influence. John Stott said this. He says, "We should not ask what is wrong with the world, for that diagnosis has already been given. Rather, we should ask what has happened to salt and light." So, we understand by the Beatitudes that we are not saved by what we do, but we are saved, but being saved, God has something for us to do. Matter of fact, Paul tells us that in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them." So, there's no excuse that we're not about God's business. There's no excuse. None of us are off the hook. That's the preacher's job, or that's the deacon's job, or that's the Sunday school teacher's job. No, we are all saved through Christ Jesus alone, through faith alone, for good works, to do the things that God has called us to do and laid out for us to do. So, listen, after we're saved in Christ, there are some fruits that begin to show up in our life through our conduct. And here's what's really good about them. There are three I want to share with you very quickly. When we live our life out loud for Christ, it brings joy to us. Remember, we talked about that happiness, blessed are those, Jesus kept saying over and over 9 times. But we also, it brings others to Christ. And when we live Christ out loud, it brings others to Christ. And the third thing, it brings glory to God. When our conduct matches our character, it brings glory to God. Our conduct is important. Does it save us, but save people, or to conduct themselves in a manner that God is glorified in? Remember that over the next 3 days. Christian, remember that. We are to conduct ourselves in the world, even when people are doing things around us that are not glorifying to God, we're still to conduct ourselves in a way that glorifies God. Verses 13 through 16, Matthew 5. Jesus said to his disciples who were there around him, "You are salt, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your word. God, I pray your word settles deep in us today. Holy Spirit, have freedom to speak to us through your word. Let not people hear my words, but God, hear your word as the Holy Spirit begins to nurture that and grow that in their life. May you be glorified today, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. So Jesus begins telling us what our relationship with the world is supposed to be. So before he tells us how we are to influence the world, he wants to make sure that we know our mission. He wants to make sure that we're all about what we're here for. Know our assignment. What we have here in the beginning is a picture of the function of a believer in the world. That you are salt and you are light. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim, it's very important, the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light. So Scripture tells us to be different than the world. Different. Set apart. Be in the world but not of the world, as the saying goes. But it does not mean that we are disengage ourselves from the community around us. That unbelieving community around us is still there. We are still to engage them. We're still to be there among them, but we are to be light and salt to them. God has saved us and equipped us, and listen, commands us to influence the world for him. The very reason God calls us out to be distinct and to be separate is that these are the very agents of influence that impact our world. That we are different than the world. If we look like the world and act like the world, then we're not setting an impactful message for the world. See, we can't influence something that we're exactly alike. It's not in your likeness to the world that's attractive or compelling to make an influence in this world. It's because you are different in Christ. It's because he has changed you and made you a new creation. That's why there's influence. So, we get out into the world and we live like Christ is our treasure, and it makes a difference. You let the world see you doing it. But there's too many Christians who are not living like Christ is of great value to them, that he is truly treasure to them. So when the world looks at the church, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference to them. That's why there are empty chairs and pews in churches all across this nation and across this world, because people see Christians and we're not making a very big impact on them, because they don't see anything distinctive about us. They don't see anything separate about us. So the text this morning really presupposes a couple of things. That the world is corrupt and decaying. And that the world is dark with many who are lost in the darkness. Verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The word you there in Greek means you alone. You and no other. It's emphatic that it's you. Jesus says, you, here meaning an emphatic you alone and you and no other. You alone, church. You alone, church, are the salt. You alone, church, are the light of the world. Man, we're the salt of the earth. We're to be light to this world. Jesus is saying, there's no one else in the world that is salt and light but you, church. Yeah. Jesus is telling his followers, the church, man, we're the only retarding force against decay and corruption in this world. We're the only ones. Listen, Jesus is indicting every religion, other religion in the world, whether it's Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, whatever ism you want to call out there. He's saying those are all false. That's not salt and light. That ends in destruction, but you, church, you alone have the truth. You alone make the difference. You're the salt. You're the light. We're the only ones that have the hope in Christ, hope for this world. So we need to get this point very clearly. Verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. That's a plural form there. So we get this plurality that Jesus is emphasizing in this text, in these two verses. And this is vital as a church. Because when it pertains to salt, think about it. Man, we like our food. We like our seasoning here. A lot of times we like too much salt. Do you put 1 grain of salt in your food? No, man, you go to the cabinet, you pull out that box, and you shake till it feels right. You know, that's how we cook here. Till the ancestors tell you, stop. Enough, child. We don't put 1 grain of salt. We put many grains of salt because that's what brings flavor and seasoning. 1 grain doesn't affect much of anything. And the very same thing with light. Notice Jesus uses the illustration of a city in his message. Verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. City here meaning many lights, not just one light. The city has a plurality of lights. It has many lights that illuminate the city. Why? Because just like it takes many grains of salt together to make an impact, to make a change in our foods, it takes many lights to light up a city. Christianity is something meant to be done together in community. Always has been. Jesus teaches us that. The disciples teach us that. The apostles and all their teaching and all their writing is that Christianity is meant to be in community, in the local church. We're to assemble together for worship. We're assembled together to hear the word. We're to fellowship together, be discipled together. We are to serve together. Simply put, we're to do life together. As the church, that's how we shine bright to a dark world. That's how we influence our surroundings as salt and light. Together, we make a difference. Yet here, thanks to COVID especially, in a technology-driven world in 2022, we see a dangerous trend going on. I'm all for technology. And listen, Facebook and online services, and we're filming this right now. That's all great and wonderful when it is a desperate need. But there are too many people who believe they're having church this morning sitting in their recliner. You're not. You're listening to a service. You're not having church. You're not gathered with the local body of believers. Because Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 is very clear. Not neglecting to meet together. I'm not around your recliner or your couch. Not neglecting meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The writer of Hebrews was obviously, listen, they had that problem back then. People were, I don't feel like going to church today, man. I'm not going down there. I'm just going to study on my own today. Man, I had church in the deer stand this morning. No, you didn't. So it was, we were bass fishing this morning, and man, you know, we had a devotion, you know, where two or more gathered, the Lord is also. You're not there for worship. You're there to catch bass. Man, Christians have just gotten comfortable staying at home and watching online or through other forms of technology. Even this service, or man, maybe they are tuning into some celebrity preacher. Turn that off. Get dressed. I don't care if it's shorts, blue jeans. I don't care. Go gather with your local church. See, Christianity is not meant to be lived out in isolation from the local church. We are to assemble together. Christianity is meant to be lived out together. Why? Because we are salt. We are light. And we emphasize the word are now. You are this. The Greek there for are means you already are. You already are salt. Christian, you already are light. That's not something that you're becoming. It's what you are already in Christ Jesus. Because of Christ, you are now salt. You are now light. It is what you are. Jesus is saying, you are already salt. You're already light. Live like it. Speaks, man, of this beautiful and this wonderful and this miraculous relationship between Jesus and his followers. Scripture says Jesus is the light of the world, John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them and says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Man, the moment you trust Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you, and the light of the world, the Spirit of light, is now a part of who you are. His divine nature enters you. And in a sense, you become like Christ. Now you're a light bearer for Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. So we're partakers of Jesus' divine nature. Man, you're already salt. You're already light. That's what Jesus is emphasizing in this sermon. Man, all we have to do is walk in it. We don't have to be made into it. Christ already did that, Christian. We're to walk in it. But you can't walk in something you've never been made into. Maybe this morning Jesus is not your Savior. You've done religious things, but Christ is not your Savior. This morning you need Jesus as your Savior. Not a Baptist denomination, not another denomination. You need Christ. Verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. You, plural, you alone are what you already are, the salt of the earth. Man, Jesus is the master teacher. And he connects with his audience. These disciples gathered around, those who were unbelievers, out listening. Why? Because salt was a preservative. It was used to preserve their perishable foods. It was an antiseptic that they used. It was often given to Roman soldiers to bring into battle with them. Because if they got a cut, they had to put salt in the wound to sterilize it. It's an antiseptic. And sometimes, all these Roman soldiers were paid for, were paid with, was salt. Because it was so valuable and important. That's where you get the two terms, you know. Well, that's salt in a wound. Because it burns. It hurts. That's when your mama used to tell you, that's how you know it's hurting. When it hurts, that's when you know it's working. You heard the term, too. It's like, well, man, he's not worth his salt. Because the Roman soldiers were often paid with salt. So Jesus packs so much in these metaphors. But think about it. Salt even enhances flavor. We know that. We love to cook. And it causes thirst. You ever taste something real salty? Then you want water to wash it all down. So we can see as Christians, living for Jesus is enhancing people's lives, bringing flavor to their life, but it's also causing thirst in them for more of Jesus. Man, when Jesus is evident in your life, and you're a peacemaker, the Beatitudes say they see your character living out for Christ, there's something attractive about that. And they want more of what you have. So the main meaning here, though, is that Jesus is referencing about salt is that salt is a preservative. Salt stops corruption and decay. So disciples who were gathered around Jesus that day, man, they were from Galilee. They were fishermen, majority of them. They understood about preservation because they would go fishing all night. Most of them would throw their nets out, and whatever catch they had the next morning, they had to sell. They kept some to eat maybe, but they sold it. That's the way they made a living. But what they didn't do was head down to Jerusalem, some 70 miles away, with a stringer full of fish to bring to the fish market. Why? Because 70 miles on foot would take them several days. You ever smell fish out of water for several days? Yeah, they didn't last. So what they would do would immediately after they caught the fish, they would clean the fish and pack them in salt. That way, the fish would be preserved to make whatever journey they need to the local fish markets. So these disciples who were fishermen understood that salt was needed for preservation. Jesus' point was right there, right on. Disciples picked up on it quickly. So Jesus was saying, listen, your presence in the world is as the salt of the earth, was preserving the gospel to go forward to change lives and eternities, while also holding back the world from further decay and further corruption. It was focusing, listen, as salt, you are preserving the gospel that Jesus Christ has given to us. So it's moving forward, but it's also holding back the decay of the world. Can you imagine what our society would look like if the church wasn't here? If the believers were not out in the world living the life for Christ, could you imagine how much decay this world would see? So Jesus said, you're already salt. You're already one, the ones with the gospel message. You are the only one, church, left to push back against corruption in the world. You are salt. In other words, you are influence. And you are light. You are illumination. Verse 14 says you are the light. Light in Scripture often refers to this possessing the knowledge of God. John 8:12, we read a while ago, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So light is a comprehensive term that God uses in revelation of himself to humanity. So what do we do with this light? So we know that as believers, the Holy Spirit lives in us. We have the light of Christ in us. What are we to do with it? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, we're to proclaim it. Listen to what Peter writes. But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possessions, so that you may proclaim it. Proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What are we to do with the light? We're not to keep our mouth shut. We're not to hide it under a bushel basket, so to speak. We are to speak the praises of Jesus. We are to speak the gospel into a hurting and dying world. We are to speak into the world in its darkness. But you can't find many Christians today that want to speak about Jesus. Why? Because we don't want to offend anybody. Man, we want everybody to like us. Would you rather God say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or would you say, I'd rather everybody like me? See, salt is us living as Christ followers in the world to impact it through our conduct. Listen, we're a preserving agent in the world. But light is us speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ into a dark and broken world. Salt is live it. Light is speak it. We are to illuminate for Christ in the area of influence that He has placed us. You mean go to my job and talk about Jesus? You're the light that God has placed there in a very dark, dark world. You may be the only lighthouse in there. You may be the only one that's standing on the shore with all the waves and all the storms, helping those who are lost, helping those ships out there lost come to shore safely. Man, as salt we influence, as light we illuminate. We cannot illuminate someone whom we have no influence. If we're living like the world, it doesn't matter much what we say about Jesus, because we're not influencing with our conduct. See, without the proper conduct, we don't influence for Jesus, and thus we cannot effectively communicate the gospel. If your mouth is filthy and garbage is flowing out of that, you say every F word and this word and that word and everything else. But then you're going to say, Paul, praise Jesus. Who are you fooling? Not God. And you're not fooling anybody else either. See, if your conduct doesn't match what the Bible says our conduct should look like. That's why Jesus covered the Beatitudes first about character. Then it's real hard to be light in a dark world. So, living it is not enough. The gospel of Christ must be spoken. There's a lot of Christians that just want others to come to Jesus by their conduct, by their good behavior. Jesus says, that's a start. But you're also light. You have to illuminate. You have to speak it. Romans 10:14 says this. How then will they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe whom they have not heard? Your conduct is not hearing the gospel. It's seeing, but it's hearing. And how are they to hear without someone preaching or proclaiming? How is the light to shine if you don't turn it on? Salvation comes by the gospel being proclaimed, and the Holy Spirit makes it effective in the soul of a lost person in order for him to respond in faith and repentance. Verse 16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not glorify you, because it's not about you. It's about you living out being salt and light. How will they glorify your Father in heaven? By first hearing about God in heaven, who loves them and sent His only Son to die on a cross for them to pay for their full penalty of sin. Man, they have to hear the good news of Jesus before it's good news for their soul. Just seeing you be a nice person at work is not enough. There's actually some nice lost people out there too. Matter of fact, sometimes there's more nice lost people in a group than there are nice Christians. I ought to get a lot of amens on that. Man, they have to hear the good news. Salt is your life lived for Christ. Light is your message of Jesus spoken. Now here's the hard part in this passage that sometimes gets misunderstood and misinterpreted and mistranslated because people are not understanding and really understanding what the gospel is talking about here. What Jesus is saying here. Verse 13 says, "You are salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Listen, this does sting a bit. It's oftentimes misunderstood, completely taken out of context. And there's some people who want to say, "Whoa, that means you can lose your salvation." No, let's clear this up. This is not talking about a Christian losing his salvation. Jesus says, he's still salt. He says, "You are the salt." It's what you already are. Jesus uses this practical reference with a greater meaning. You see, in Jesus' day, there were large deposits of salt, some in lagoons and some out in the Dead Sea, and there was even some out in marshes. But it was not pure and refined like we have today. We just go to the cabinet, we pull out our sea salt or our ionized salt, and we shake it. It's pure salt. Back then, some of the salt was mixed with gypsum or mingled with some other pollutants that was indigenous to that region. And much of the salt that was being mined would quickly lose its ability to preserve or to flavor. It just didn't have it. It'd be contaminated. And really would become stale in being mixed with these pollutants. So what they did with all this compromised salt, it was still salt, but it was not used for human consumption or antiseptic or anything of that nature because it's lost its taste and it's lost its function. So it was thrown out on the roads and used as gravel. Thus we have trampled underfoot. So what Jesus is saying to his disciples, even to the church to this day, is that you're already salt. You're not going to stop being salt, but if you're not careful, you will compromise your faith and testimony for Jesus by mingling with things in the world. He says, don't mingle with things in the world, with all the pollutants and contaminants of the world or false doctrines and heresies, or you will lose your saltiness, your effectiveness, your function. Jesus uses this word tasteless. In verse 13, in the Greek, that means to be foolish. Don't go around the world contaminating your testimony for Christ, contaminating the gospel message, contaminating what you should be keeping pure through the Holy Spirit's guidance. Don't contaminate it because you become foolish. See, Christians who find themselves trying to blend into the world and try to blend into the church, man, you find yourselves in a pretty uncomfortable situation. Because the people of the world know that you go to the church, so they don't really accept you well. The people in the church know you're playing around in the world. So they try to distance themselves. So here you are caught in the middle. You're playing in the world, but you're trying to play in church too. Don't do that. Don't contaminate the salt. Man. Listen, if this is you, remember that you are compromising your faith journey with Jesus by incorporating to your life the things that are contaminating you. You are making yourself useless to impact and influence others for Jesus in your sphere of influence or people or friends or colleagues or family. Because they know you and they see you and they hear what you talk about. See, no one will believe that you speak about Jesus, what you speak about Jesus, because what you say and what you do don't match. Listen, if you're in church this morning, but you're going to be riding horses drunk this week, don't do that. You're contaminating your testimony for Jesus. If you want to be sober and chase a chicken, that's your business. But don't do things and contaminate who you are. You're salt, Christian. Don't contaminate yourself with the world. Why? It's foolish. And you become useless for the things of God. Brother Kevin, that's hard. Yeah. But God has called us all for a purpose, and He's equipped us all for a reason. And man, we need to understand that. See, Jesus is not saying that you lose your salvation. Rather, you lose your influence. And don't, just don't. Please hear me. Listen, if you've been compromising and contaminating your witness for Jesus, man, it's time to repent and turn from those things. You need a fresh start. You need a new beginning with Christ. You need a start over so that your light will shine and your salt will be salt, will be salty. Man, and we'll celebrate and rejoice with you. This is not a message to criticize anyone. This is a message of encouragement. Listen, look to Christ and stay on track. Don't get sidetracked with the things of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. We don't need to be sidetracked. Why? Because we're all in this together. Jesus is talking about the local church. Many grains of salt, many beams of light. Together, illuminating. City on a hill can't be hidden. See, the villages back then were built up on a hill. A couple of reasons. First of all, it was a great defensive place, position to be in. Second of all, it was in a very arid climate, so the wind, the breeze coming in was very welcome in the city. Streets walking out and the breeze coming through. But it also, at nighttime, what people would do was they would all light a candle in their house or some source of light. Why? Because those who were maybe in outskirts, trying to find their way back to the city, would see an illumination of that city. So those walking around in darkness, even in the city streets, would have a little light from all the houses around that would help them find their way home. What a message, church. That we all are light, and together we shine brightly for those who are in darkness trying to find their way home. You are salt. You are light. Let's pray. Father God, today help us. God, we need your Holy Spirit to move freely and reign freely in our lives, God. There will be a lot of things pulling and distracting us over the next few days and have been over the last couple of weeks. God, we want to have break, but God, let us always remember who we are. And God, only your Holy Spirit can teach us and keep us growing and going in that direction. Because the flesh and the pressure from the outside is great. God, let us not continue. Jesus, have your way. Let your word be planted deep in our souls. In Christ's name, amen.